This is Paul Riespinel from Media Geek, and we're issuing our theme today so that we can just pack as much as we can in today's program. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, our media environment. On today's program, one of the emphases that we're going to have, unfortunately, is that it's going to be about state repression of independent media. We're going to hear from the V-Man, also known as Vinny Lombardo, from Free Radio Santa Cruz, which was shut down a week and a half ago by the FCC and the federal marshals in Santa Cruz, California, one of the longest-running micropower community broadcasters in the country, going almost 10 years on their frequency without a license. We're also going to hear about the seizure of hard drives from indie media servers that serve many independent media sites in the world, and these hard drives were confiscated by the FBI, who then put down a gag order on the Rackspace Corporation, which hosts the websites. So we don't know much more. That's all on today's show. Drew joins me in the studio. He's the producer of Media Geek.
That's right, I'm here. And we were trying to get a live guest on the phone, and I think we're going to have to try to reach him later because we were having some technical difficulties. But we do have some other programming available for you here on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jump into that.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to hear an interview we did a couple days ago with Vinny Lombardi, also known as the V-Man, who has been a longtime volunteer with Freak Radio Santa Cruz. As we mentioned, they were shut down about 10 days ago in Santa Cruz, California. They broadcast without a license for nearly 10 years to provide community radio to the community of Santa Cruz, which didn't otherwise have any type of community radio, and in many ways had their whole radio dial and all their mediascape dominated by the larger Bay Area like San Jose and San Francisco. And so there's very little space left on the FM dial, the TV dial even, to have media specifically for the town of Santa Cruz. As our listeners heard last week, Free Radio Santa Cruz was shut down last week by the FCC along with federal marshals. Is it true that I understand that the Santa Cruz police did not participate?
Yeah, that's right. They didn't. They sent one officer to the scene just to quell the fears of a bus driver that had passed by the house and saw the large demonstration that had taken place outside. So they sent down an officer just to see what they could do about keeping people out of the road so nobody got hit by a car. But the police confirmed to me that they did not act upon the request of the marshals or the FCC.
So it seems like you've pretty big fan base there who are pretty ticked off about the actions of the FCC.
Indeed. Close to 150 people turned out over the course of the morning to come support us as the raid was happening, and probably 200 to 300 people that passed by in their cars were honking their horns and stuff too. So really huge showing of support on the morning of the raid and since the raid. We've had listeners and donations coming in from all across the country via our internet website, www.freakradio.org. And our local community as well has really stepped up. They've been, we've had like $3,000 or $4,000 come in just in the last week since the raid. And, we've had the Pacifica Radio National Board recently passed a resolution supporting us and condemning the raids. The Santa Cruz City Council, who has twice gone on record supporting Free Radio Santa Cruz, are also working on another resolution condemning the most recent raid, and we're looking into seeing what we can do to get our County Board of Supervisors also to issue a similar resolution supporting our work.
Wow, that's pretty amazing support for an operation which the FCC says is illegal.
Yeah, in fact, one other thing I forgot to mention, which probably helped gather a lot of the folks down on the scene last week out in front of the station when the FCC raid was taking place, is that a lot of the local public stations, in fact, put the word out over their airwaves and informed their listeners as to what was happening with regards to the raid on Free Radio Santa Cruz. They just put an announcement out and said the FCC is busting Free Radio, go down, and they put the address out over the air. And a couple people said they heard it on a couple different radio stations. The mayor of Santa Cruz, Scott Kennedy, he came down to the scene during the raid, and he told us he heard it on KPIG, which is a famous independent radio station. It's been around for a couple decades, but they recently got bought out by Mapleton Communications, and so they're like now even a corporate radio station, even though they've maintained some of their independence. But it was really encouraging to hear that the local community radio stations value our work and view us as an important part of the community on the radio dial here in Santa Cruz.
So indeed, they were looking at you as colleagues, really.
Yeah.
Rather than competition or as pretenders.
Definitely.
That's really good to hear. So it's really true then that Free Radio Santa Cruz was acting like a community station in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah, absolutely. And even more so because, you know, we have all kinds of people on our station right from our community. It's like we do have a lot of like syndicated programming, but the majority of the content is locally generated, so it really truly is a community station.
So here's the big question. You've had the FCC visit Free Radio Santa Cruz studios several times in the past, or try to visit. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, try to visit is a better description.
Because you've not let them in,
yeah,
by and large.
Right.
So why now did they come with the marshals and did they come with a warrant?
Well, we can only speculate, but obviously the elections are right around the corner. That may or may not have something to do with it. A lot of people are speculating that the elections are playing a big part of the raid because we were so outspoken against the Bush administration and the policies on the Iraq War and all the other issues that are happening in our world. I can only speculate, but my feeling is that it just our time came. You know, that's how I feel about it. Berkeley Liberation Radio was shut down in 2002. San Francisco Liberation Radio was shut down about a year ago in October 2003, and we are the final big station in the Bay Area, and we finally, our turn came, I guess.
And, I mean, you had the longest run of them all.
Out of those three, indeed.
I mean, almost 10 years, correct?
Yeah, we'd be celebrating 10 years on March 30th is our anniversary.
And if I'm not incorrect, I mean, that's one of the longest runs for a sort of above-ground micro-power FM station in the country.
That's one of the longest. In Banneken Taco.
Yeah, that's correct.
Springfield, Illinois has been on a lot longer. He started in 1989, I believe, or 1988.
And
it's
been
15 years.
It's been shut down a couple times and come back.
Yeah, and he's still going strong.
With all these donations coming in, is there a plan to try and put Free Radio Santa Cruz back on the air?
At the moment, we are currently just streaming via the internet.
I see.
All indications are that we're going back on the air. It's just a matter of where and when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gear is not a question. That's never been a problem. Never been a question.
That's always the small question, I think.
Yeah, with micro radio, I find that at least in Santa Cruz, the biggest obstacle that we faced, you know, is finding locations to broadcast from. You know, and with the raid, the heavy-handed tactics of the U.S. Marshals and the FCC, they came in with fully automatic weapons, you know, riot gear and such. Some of them in helmets and such. So, it's got a lot of people freaked out and shooken up, and the people that were hosting us before are now questioning whether or not they want us to go back on the air from that location.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other people who had volunteered to be sort of a backup location have now backed out due to the raid. They're a little bit afraid of losing their own property. I mean, unfortunately, they've fallen to a lot of rhetoric from lawyers and such who have convinced them that the FCC would try to seize their property, their land and their home.
Sure.
So, and I've never heard of any case of a micro pirate radio operator having their home seized. So I don't know where these lawyers are getting this kind of stuff, but it's really dangerous for what we're trying to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
And so do you think the station would consider going to some more clandestine type broadcasting, not having such an open or well-known location? I know that's a strategy which some micro broadcasters have used in the past.
These are ideas that are being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're still trying to figure out what's next in the legal realm for us. You know, they issued a warrant, a seizure order, to take our equipment, but no individuals have been singled out, and nobody has been served with an injunction. You know, so that probably would be the next step. If we go back on the air and they seize our station again, they're probably going to go after a couple people, and we have a good idea of who,
mm-hmm.
Because some of those, you know, the day of the raid, the FCC came with, you know, warrants and stuff. They didn't serve it on anybody for a while, and we kept asking, we want to see a warrant, we want to see a warrant. Well, a couple of us had been singled out by the marshals, and, you know, I was one of those people. I walked up to ask one of the marshals a question, and he told me to wait. He was going to go get his supervisor. She comes over, asks me, "Are you Vinny Lombardi?" And my name is Lombardo.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "That's not my name." You know, and she goes, she's holding a photograph of me, which is like an 8x11 blow-up of my driver's license photo. Mm. And she's like, is this you? And I was like, well, does it look like me? I was trying to be vague and not directly answer her question.
Sure.
But then she's just like, hands me, she just kind of like shoves this warrant in my chest, and she's like, you've been served. So I look at it, and it just doesn't have my name on it. It just says, you know, USA versus any and all radio broadcasting equipment, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, well, this isn't really have my name on it, and I don't know what you're serving me with this for. You know, and they didn't take it back. But I took it as a real big a warning, you know, that if I go back on the air, I'm going to get an injunction. So, you know, I'm definitely, like, a little bit freaked out by that. But so I don't know what my role is going to be in the future personally, but I think that Free Radio Santa Cruz will continue to broadcast, irregardless of whether they try to single out a couple people as, quote, ringleaders. You know, this station means so much to so many people that I know that there's others that are willing to take the risk, and that it's just a matter of time before Free Radio Santa Cruz is once again on the airwaves.
That's the indicator of community radio, when it's more than just one or two people who put in so much effort, but when there's lots of people around who are willing to take on the load, or maybe, you know, change hands when necessary. I think that's really a good sign. And is there anything which people listening around, you know, here in Illinois and elsewhere, people here Media Geek, can do to lend a hand to Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Well, of course, monetary support is always appreciated and always needed. You know, in addition to the equipment that they stole, we have lots of other outstanding bills and rent and stuff to pay. So, you know, that's always something that we could use more money. And if people would like to contribute to our station, you can use your credit card over the internet and safe and secure PayPal transactions on our website at freakradio.org. But really what we're asking for is just for people to spread the word about this and, you know, to just to become the media. You know, if you feel like you're not being served by your local media, start up a pirate station in your own town. And there's a lot of risks to it, but I think it's so worth it in the end when you have a station and people can kind of speak freely about issues that are important to them.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Vinny.
Hey, thank you.
And that is an interview with Vinny Lombardo of Freak Radio Santa Cruz, shut down about 10 days ago by the Federal Communications Commission and federal marshals in Santa Cruz, California. They operated for nearly 10 years without a license, providing community radio to that community, which otherwise doesn't have a lot of its own media. And I do want to note that the Santa Cruz Police Department did not participate in that raid, respecting Freak Radio Santa Cruz, and apparently issuing tickets to the federal marshals for exceeding their parking limits in front of the station. You are listening to Media Geek. My name is Paul Riesmanel. I'm your host, Drew Tirico. Producer is at the controls. And now we're going to the phone lines. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. How are you doing? You are part of a activity going on right now in San Diego called Media Emergency.
Yes, I am.
And so you're there simultaneous with the National Association of Broadcasters Radio Convention.
Yes.
So what's going on?
Well, here in San Diego, a coalition of media activists, like San Diego Indie Media, Radioactive Radio, Girls Need to Go-Go, Free Radio San Diego, decided to get together and organize a counter-conference to the National Association of Broadcasters meeting, who are the trade lobby, basically, for the biggest organizations and the biggest broadcasters in the country. We decided to have a two-pronged approach that both criticized the state of corporate media today, now with the emergency theme, and on the other hand, focus on the emergence of new media and alternative media. So we've been having films and speakers highlighting, you know, alternative expressions. We had a march yesterday that went really well. We marched right up to the NAB conference at the Hyatt and had a mock award ceremony during their award ceremony. As they gave out awards for the biggest and largest radio stations, we gave out awards for the most racist stations, the biggest conglomerates, and then we also give awards for media justice and media diversity.
So who won for most racist?
Well, it was actually a combo award. It was most racist, sexist, and homophobic, and that was Bill O'Reilly.
And so who won some of the good awards?
Some of the good awards were for media justice. We gave one to Guerrilla News Network, Amy Goodman at Democracy Now!, Atana Media, a great bookseller.
And did you get any reaction from the National Association of Broadcasters or any of the regular broadcast the commercial broadcasters?
Yes, they came outside and some of them were there. They were getting really angry at us. It was just kind of strange. A lot of them were saying how they agreed with us and how bad Clear Channel is, but then they were saying how, you know, they're unpolitical, they're just a trade lobby, even though, you know, their trade lobby lobbies the FCC to not allow low-power FM radio stations.
And they give a lot of money to political campaigns.
Oh, a huge amount of money. Yeah, you can go to opensecrets.org to see their campaign contributions. And they were pretty angry, and we had Hannah Sassaman from the Prometheus Radio Project here, and she gave an awesome speech and talked with one of the guys from the NAB, and basically stumped him. He didn't even know what to say. He thought he was, you know, doing the best thing that he could be for, you know, media in the world. But when we brought up issues like community, like diversity, like low power, it was like we're talking to, you know, a different man, a different planet. I mean, these people were talking about one thing at this conference, you know, profits and markets. Because on the other hand, I mean, on the other side of this conference, was a couple of us actually went inside the NAB conference. We infiltrated it. We got credentials from across the country, from low power FM stations, to go inside using their, you know, accreditation. So we saw what they were doing on the inside. People from Portsmouth, Oroville, and I think Albuquerque gave us their radio credentials. And I went to about four of these speeches yesterday, today. I went to the FCC breakfast and the opening and the keynote. And no matter what the topic is, there's always one theme, you know, profit, you know, markets.
And so with this FCC breakfast, who was there?
Commissioner Adelstein from the FCC, and I think a guy named Mark Robert or Robert Mark.
Okay.
And this was really funny because...
So no Michael Powell.
No Michael Powell, no.
Hmm.
But compared to the NAB, these FCC guys look like flaming liberals.
That's right, because Commissioner Adelstein has been a supporter of low-power FM. He's been a supporter of curtailing media concentration.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up, you know the citizen like activists and the need for localism and low-power media, you know, over and over again, and I couldn't believe it.
How was he received? I mean, how did they react to him?
They were really, like, either confused or angry or almost brushed it off. They were like, you know, they were making jokes about it because they would get up to the mic and ask questions and say, I don't know about this FCC stuff, but, you know, we have commitment to our, you know, advertisers mm-hmm. and to our listeners. But, like, really, they had nothing to say, like, when they talked about localism and homogenization even brought up. And he said, you know, people have spoken. Like, there's millions of comments coming to the FCC over the last year. NAB brushed it off. You know, they have the ear of the FCC. And, you know, to end it, Adelstein said, you know, you guys got to get more local, but we know you are local. So just tell us how you're doing, and we'll give you, like, a pat on the back.
So in the end, he just sort of tossed it back to him and said, okay, you know, keep doing it.
Yeah, we know you guys are doing some good local stuff, so just tell us how you're doing it so we don't have to, like, come down there and give you guys a warning.
Yeah, we'll have to give you a warning, and if you do it again, we'll have to give you another warning. We're full of warnings here. So aside from sort of this protest stuff, you said you're having some workshops going on?
Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday, at Balboa Park, which is a big park at this community center, we're having an all-day conference with workshops and speakers.
Okay. What kind of workshops could people participate in?
Some of the workshops are, they're really like DIY workshops, like how to make your own independent media.
I see.
So we have one on tactical video, how to make your own video. We have one on indie media journalism, which is a couple indie media kids from Arizona are coming to teach that one. We have one on independent film distribution, and there's this traveling film festival called the Gadabout Film Festival is coming to show you how to distribute your films independently. We have another workshop on pirate radio, how to make your pirate radio station. We have another workshop on internet radio.
And speaking of pirate radio, I noticed that Free Radio San Diego is part of one of the sponsors of this event, so is there any unlicensed radio activity going on?
Yeah, Free Radio San Diego is like affiliated with the event.
Mm-hmm.
But Radioactive Radio San Diego is really the main radio station covering it, who also is another pirate radio station in San Diego. And radioactiveradio.org is the website. You can go there and listen to streaming coverage all day, and interviews and call-ins. We had a lot of call-ins last night from the march. And
so people were calling in live on their cell phones as they were participating in the march.
Yeah,
and it was getting broadcast on the air.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what kind of turnout are you having?
Our opening night, we had about 60, 70 people. The march, we had about 80 people. And for San Diego, that's really good. It's hard. You have to stress this, that San Diego is a border town. It's a military town. It's a sunshine town, you know. Mm-hmm. People don't get active here. People go to the beach.
Very conservative, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. To see this turnout was incredibly excited. Especially, these were people we've never seen before.
Wow.
These weren't people that come to meetings and that were our friends.
Mm-hmm.
These were just people, like locals, who were, you know, pissed off at what's going on. People who never heard of the NAB before, but heard about Fox News, heard about CNN.
And now they're learning that they're all together in the same boat with the National Association of Broadcasters, the biggest media lobby. And, of course, when it comes to radio, the radio conference is it. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us, Jacob. If people want to learn some more information about the media emergency event, where would they go?
They should go to the website. It's mediaemergency.org. That's with a C at the end and no Y. Just E-M-E-R-G-E-N-C. They can also listen to Radioactive Radio, which is radioactiveradio.org. Or they can go to the San Diego Indie Media webpage, which is sandiego.indiemedia.org.
Great. Well, once again, thank you very much for speaking with us here on Media Geek, Jacob.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good luck this weekend.
Cheers.
And you are listening to Media Geek. I'm Paul Reisman. I'm your host. With me in the studio is Drew Tirico. We just spoke to Jacob, who is with Media Emergency, which is a radical DIY media convergence going on in San Diego this weekend, coincident with the biannual National Association of Broadcasters radio conference, or what they call the radio show. And I went to a similar convergence 2 years ago in Seattle.
Really?
Called Reclaim the Media, because that's when the last National Association of Broadcasters radio show was. It was fun. There was a huge micro radio conversion called a Mosquito Fleet, where they brought in, I think it was more than 10 stations broadcast throughout the week, taking up every empty space on a dial, including a simultaneous broadcast of some material put together by Negative Land, which was a parody of a local Seattle station. And at one point, people were able to get into the National Association of Broadcasters conference with radios and play some of the pirate stations in the middle of the conference. And around it was this Reclaim the Media conference, which was very cool. And the Reclaim the Media organization continues to exist at reclaimthemedia.org. They continue to do lots of media reform and other DIY media events in the Northwest and around the country. Now, producer Drew Tirico has been with the show not quite a year yet.
That's right. About 8 months I've been here.
About 8 months. So this is your second pledge drive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I guess I think it's interesting for people to hear why you decided to join on with the program and lend your efforts.
Sure. I'd love to talk about it. I mean, I got into the community radio because of sort of the abyss that's out there that is sort of, you know, commercial radio and commercial media. And I'm sure anyone who's listening to this program knows what I'm talking about. And even if you are a fan of what goes on the TV or what comes through your cable and what comes down from the satellite, you know, some of the programs, I'm sure you realize that a lot of it out there is probably stuff that maybe you're not that crazy about. And you don't get to say anything about that because there's no feedback in that kind of an information delivery system. You know, it's sponsored by advertisers. It's paid for by the companies that run it, and they decide what goes on the air. They decide what's most profitable, and they decide what you want. You know, I mean, and they say, well, we're responsible to our shareholders, we're responsible to our viewers because we want to give the people what they want. But that's not exactly the whole truth of the story. As if you're a listener of Media Geek, you understand that there's a lot of ownership regulation that comes into play, and there's a lot of input that doesn't happen. So community radio is very important for all of us to support, you know, be it through our money or through our time or through our efforts.
I really enjoyed having you on the show, Drew. I think it's really made the show much better to have both your input, especially behind the scenes, and then also your help right here in the studio every week. It's been 10 times more fun for me, and I've been doing this now for 2.5 years. We have some bad news to bring you right now, which I previewed a bit earlier in the show. The United States FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, took the hard drives of global indie media servers in the United States and the UK this week. It appears that a court order was issued to Rackspace, which is Indie Media's service provider, to physically remove the hard drives from global indie media servers. Backup servers are now in place. Rackspace was given no time to defend against the order before it was acted upon, and they turned over the hard drives both in the U.S. and the U.K. The servers hosted numerous local independent media center websites, and the reason for the seizure is not really known. It appears that there is a gag order on Rackspace that they cannot say anything more. I will say the local Urbana-Champaign IMC website has not been affected because its server is hosted elsewhere. The FBI's latest anti-free press actions began at the beginning of October when they visited IndyMedia's ISP demanding the removal of identifying information from photographs of undercover police officers that were posted to the Nantes independent media website in France. When asked what the U.S. government was doing requesting the removal of information from a French-run website that contained information about Swiss police actions, the FBI stated that this was a courtesy to the Swiss government. The FBI agents stated that no laws had been broken and no crimes had been committed. However, because no identifying information was posted on the website in question, it was unclear what actions the FBI was requesting. Some of the IMCs affected included Uruguay, Poland, Western Massachusetts, the entire radio website, which carried feeds for all sorts of web radio stations from around the world, the UK, the Belgrade IMC, Portugal IMC, Prague IMC, Basque IMC, Italy, and Brazil, all taken down for quite some time and seized by the United States FBI without any accusations of laws being broken. There is a crackdown on independent voices. There is a crackdown going on against people who challenge the status quo. And we wonder if it's only just going to get worse as we get closer and closer to the impending election.
That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.